Yeah, we're glad that you're here tonight to engage in another study from God's will. All of us in our own little world think that we are a little bit unique. I can remember years ago, Ken Embry, when he came here and placed membership, he and Cookie, and the kids were very small at the time. He was a certain type of doctor. In fact, he told me, he said, "I am the only doctor that specializes in this in Louisville." And I said, "Really?" And he went over to the yellow pages and he showed me. He said, "Here it is. I'm the only one that does this." And Ken, he thought he was unique. He was a very unique doctor. He would look at me and he would tell me, he said, "Rob, you probably need to lose 10 pounds. And I'd look at Ken and say, "Really? I need to lose 10 pounds. But a very unique character. But you can do something that no one else can do. In fact, you're the only one. And that is, you can exercise your own free will. When we talk about this, we see the ability to choose how to act, the ability to make choices that are not controlled by fate or by God. In fact, some deny the reality of free will. Free will is the control stick that's going to govern our actions, no doubt. But some deny the reality of free will. The materialist will say that we are controlled solely by hereditary or by the environment that surrounds us. You hear a lot of people that use that as an excuse for their actions. But it's not my fault. It's because of my family or because of my environment. Then some are like the Calvinist, to where they say we are controlled by God's sovereign election. A lot of times in the past, you'd go through, especially the country, even here in Louisville, though, really, and you'd see different Baptist churches. Maybe you would see missionary Baptist. And then as you go further into the country, you would see free will Baptist. And these groups had divided over the years. Because it used to be the free will Baptist didn't believe in Calvinism. And that's why they were called free will Baptist. And a lot of times you'll still see today out on the sign, a free will Baptist church. Now, if they believe in Calvinism now, they probably ought to take that down from their sign. But it used to be like that. It used to be like that years ago. But either denial robs us of the dignity God intended for mankind. Free will. It's what raises you above the animals. The animals are not controlled by free will. They are controlled by instinct. You might meet an Australian on the street. And that Australian has exercised his free will to buy a plane ticket or to buy a ship ticket or however he got here. And exercised his free will to come to Louisville, Kentucky. Somebody else, though, they might meet a kangaroo on the street. People say, well, how ridiculous is that? Well, Lynn and I, probably 15, 20 years ago, I don't know how long it's been now, we was coming back home one night next to Audubon Country Club. And if you live close to the zoo like we live close to the zoo, you see strange things every now and then. The zoo doesn't publicize what gets out every now and then. But there's a chance that you'll see something every now and then from the zoo. And sure enough, one night we were driving on Belmar, and there's a kangaroo in the middle of the street. I'd never seen a kangaroo up close before. So the lights got closer to the kangaroo or wallaby, whatever it was. And sure enough, it took two hops over to the country club fence, and it's an 8 to 10 foot fence. And I mean, he was, or she was, whoever it was over the top and into the golf course. But maybe you run into a kangaroo on the streets of Louisville. And when you run into the kangaroo on the streets of Louisville, that kangaroo didn't make a decision to come to Louisville like the Australian did. He didn't decide one day and say, you know, and the Australian outback, well, I decided I'm going to go to Louisville, Kentucky. I'm going to get me a plane ticket on Koala Airlines here and take off and decide to settle down just outside of the zoo in Louisville, Kentucky. Kangaroo doesn't do that. That Australian man, he can exercise his free will. But an animal operates by instinct. Free will is yours because you're made, and I'm made, in the image of God. God has sovereign free will. When he made us in his image, he gave us the ability to exercise our free will. Satan cannot overrule your free will. The devil made me do it. And some people are saying, well, I understand that. Yeah, that used to be a saying years ago. Some of the other people down here, the young, are looking at me like, well, what are you talking about? The devil made me do it. I don't understand. It used to be a saying by a comedian, Flip Wilson, back in the early 70s when he had a television show. And he'd talk about the devil made me do it. No. The devil may have made you want to do it. But it's your choice. You have the right to decide what I'm going to do is right and what I'm going to do is wrong. He can't make you do it. He can offer bribes. He can threaten consequences. Over in Genesis chapter 3, Genesis 3, with Eve, he bribed Eve to change her own will. Says in the beginning of the middle of verse 1, and he said to the woman, indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the tree, from fruit of the tree that's in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it or touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." So God's withholding something from you is the idea here. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a light to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. She gave it to her husband with her. He ate. And the eyes of both of them were open. They knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. I don't know how long Adam and Eve passed that tree. They made a choice for days, months, years. We know he's 130 when Seth is born, so it could have been some time that Adam passed by that tree. He and his wife Eve and made a decision not to partake of it. But the devil bribed Eve into changing her own will. Bribes couldn't break the will of Joseph or Daniel. Over in Genesis chapter 39, when we see the story of Joseph and Mrs. Potiphar, I suppose there's a lot that Mrs. Potiphar could have done for Joseph. Moved him up quickly in the ranks, I suppose. But we see the attitude that he has in verse 4, chapter 39. Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. That's Potiphar's. And he made himself overseer over all his house and put all that he owned, he put in his charge. And it came about the time when he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. And thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. He left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came about after these events that the master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." Bribing Joseph. He refused and said, "Behold, with me here my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. He has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in the house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great evil, sin against God?" He's evidently not yet 30. He's somewhere between the ages of 17 and 30. We do know that. And he had a sense of what was right. He had a sense of morality about him, about the fact of wanting to please God as he was exercising his free will. Amazing. And he didn't. He didn't lie with her. In Daniel and in chapter 1, again, young men, I don't know how old, I know the Hebrew word is yelled. I know they're somewhere evidently between 16 and 21 years old. He and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as the story goes, it says in verse 8, but Daniel made up his mind. He purposed in his heart, some passages say. He made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Can you imagine the bribe for that young man and for his three friends? And what they would have been able to accomplish in a very easy way. And I'm sure these people were hungry as well. Well, Satan can't overrule free will. He can bribe. He can threaten or frighten. We see in chapter 12 of Genesis that he frightens Abram as the famine starts to get worse. It says in chapter 12 of Genesis, verse 10, now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was severe in the land. Now, he had been busy building altars before, but this time he decided not to build one. He decided just to choose for himself and get down there to the land of Egypt. It came about when he came near to Egypt that he said to Sarah, his wife, "See now, I know that you are a beautiful woman. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' And they will kill me, but they will let you live." So he's created in his mind that he's probably going to die. And he becomes frightened. It says, verse 13, "Please say that you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that I may live on account of you." And it came about when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw the woman was very beautiful. Pharaoh's officials saw her, praised her to Pharaoh. The woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Therefore, he treated Abram well for her sake, gave him sheep and oxen, donkey, male, female servants, female donkeys, and camels. And the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What have you done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she was my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Satan couldn't overrule Abram's free will. But he did make Abram afraid. He couldn't break the will of the three Hebrews as the king told them, "When you hear the music, You bow down toward the idol on the plain of Dura. And these three young men, they said, no. In fact, in verse 24, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, stood up in haste, and he said, was there not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire? Remember, he told them, I'm going to throw you in the fire. In fact, he said, make the fire all the more hotter. They replied to the king, certainly, O king. And he said, look, I see four men loose, walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the god. And then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. And he responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. Others resisted. I read about an elder from Smyrna back in the first century. The elder's name was Polycarp. They wanted him to denounce Jesus Christ and his relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said for 86 years, I've been a servant. And they said, do you want us to burn you alive? And he said, that would be better than burning in hellfire. Satan cannot overrule your free will. Says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If Satan cannot overrule your free will, God will not. We are made in his image. God has always respected free will. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, and in verse 29, Deuteronomy 5 and in verse 29 it says, oh, that they would have such a heart in them, and they would fear me, and they would keep all my commandments always, that it be well with them and with their sons forever. In Psalm 78 and in verse 40, Psalm 78 and in verse 40. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. And Jesus, as he was riding in that young colt into Jerusalem, he says in chapter 23 and in verse 37, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you were unwilling. Free will explained. It explains the tree in the garden, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Explains evil in the world, that God has given people freedom. and the freedom to do evil if they want to do evil. The uncertainty in rearing children, you can rear them all in the same way. I think Judy Rush had 15 of her children. All of them turned out differently, raised the same way. The justice of judgment. You're responsible for what you do and what I do. Personal accountability and the age of accountability. That finally one day we come under the laws, the instructions of God. Free will explains the heart of conversion. That finally I'm going to begin obeying the Lord. Although God does not overpower our will, He does use means to encourage us to make the right choices. First, loving treatment in Romans chapter 2 and in verse 4. Romans 2 and in verse 4. Deals with the Gentiles in chapter 1, the Jews in chapter 2. He says, or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness? Are you thinking lightly about that? About how kind God is? About His tolerance and patience? Not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Not only that, but also godly sorrow. As we see the man that was disciplined, and in chapter 7, verse 10, for sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Or that of the warning of judgment. In Ecclesiastes, and in chapter 12, and in verse 13 and 14, Ecclesiastes 12. And in verse 13 and 14, the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment. Everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. And in Acts 17 and in verse 30 and 31, Acts 17 and verse 30 and 31, He says in verse 30, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because He's fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead. One more slide, lesson yours. Chapter 15, we looked at Luke 16 this morning. In chapter 15, we see the prodigal son. He willed to leave his father's house. And he ended up in the pig pen. He remembered his father's house. He remembered evidently the love and the joy that existed in his father's house. Came to himself and realized how foolish he had been. And then he considered his future. His future was that he was probably going to starve himself to death. because of his own free will. But his father loved him. He said, I'll go back and maybe he'll make me as one of his hired servants. He said, I'll arise and go back to my father. When he got there, the father didn't make him a hired servant. He put the robe on him, put the ring on him. He restored him to full sonship once again. I'd encourage you tonight that as we've thought of this short little lesson about free will, that Satan cannot overrule your free will, and God will not. The question is tonight, what decision are you going to make? You have the choice, I have the choice, as to what we're going to do. In our vernacular, the ball is in our court. We'd encourage you right now to come while together we stand and we sing.